The following sermon was preached at Selma Community Church, a church in Jefferson City that exists to build communities of transformed disciples who live for the glory of God by connecting people to Christ and community. For more information, you can find it at www.somajc.org.
Peace be with you.
Also with you.
I am glad to be with you today. If you have looked around, notice America has not burned down. We are doing good. We are alive. We had an election. It's over with. How many of you, by raise of hand, are happy not to see any more election ads? Yeah, okay, good. The joke in our house this week, there's an ad that we heard over and over for one of the propositions where it starts with this little kid coughing, and then they go, "Do you hear that? That's the sound of lost wages." And so my kids have had like these latent coughs, and so every time they cough, I just go, "Do you hear that?" And they look at me like, "Daddy, stop." And I'm like, "No." Because it just kept playing over and over and over. So it just became a joke in our house. Like, "Did you hear that? That's the sound of me losing time." But I mean, that's what it is right now. Our election seasons. I mean, let's be honest. Most of us knew who we're going to vote for about 3 months ago. Right? I mean, every time I saw an ad or I saw like a show on Jubilee or something going, "These people are undecided." I'm like, "Where are you? Have you put your head under a rock?" Yeah, like you know, everybody knows who they're going to vote for at this point. I kind of wish we had it like England, where they have like 8 weeks. You got 2 months. That's all you got. That's it. There's no more. It's not 2 years. It's 2 months. That's all you have. Let's go. I think that'd be a better thing, but that's not our system. That's not the way it works. But I mean, here's the thing that I love. Many of us as Christians are blessed to live in democracies, in democratic countries. I know sometimes you don't feel like it, but elections are held and we determine our new leaders. Where Christians have a voice in the election process, where everybody has a voice in the election process. And some people in this room, you may be ecstatic that your candidate won and you're hopeful for the future. Some of you, your candidate lost and you're depressed and worried. Whether it's your candidate that won or lost, it's important that we remember certain things. It's really important that we remember certain things in regards to living in a nation full of men and women that don't have the hope that we have. You see, we have an opportunity, and I said this 4 years ago, November 13th of 2016, the exact same thing. We have the opportunity to show the world what it looks like to actually live as Christ followers for the next 4 years. When your candidate won or when he didn't win, it doesn't matter. When your person is on top of the heap or not. When you look at the ballot and you go, "Man, I want that measure to go," or "I don't want that measure to go." And it does go through or it doesn't go through. One thing we learned about Missouri is that we are schizophrenic. We passed abortion with no limits, and we brought Trump in with a landslide. And the exact same thing. We said no to one gambling measure and yes to another gambling measure, right? Like, we're all over the place. If you really look at us, we're not like a red state. We're more of like a purple-ish state, maybe violet. Like we're kind of all over the place. But that's who we are. But what does it look like as a Christ follower for the next 4 years to live this out? To walk with friends and family? Because I don't know about you guys, but I've had a lot of my friends and family that are online crash out. I've had a whole bunch of them will go, "Hey, if you voted for so-and-so or if you believe so-and-so, then we can't be friends anymore. Unfriend me. If I see on your stuff that you like so-and-so, then I'm unfriending you." Or on the other hand, my conservative friends are like, "Hey, let me show you all these clips of liberals losing their mind. Ha, 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 ha." And these are people I used to go to church with. And I'm going, how is that godly? I sat in the cafeteria of Lincoln University on Wednesday and watched students argue. Because one guy came in with a red hat, wasn't even a MAGA hat, just a red hat. He said, "I voted for Trump, Trump, Trump." And people were like ready to fight him. And I'm kind of going, is it that deep? Do I need to throw hands over it? Can I be honest with you? I hope President-elect Trump is successful. Because if he's successful, America's successful. And if America's successful, well, since I'm a part of it, I'm successful, and praise God for that. And if it was Kamala Harris, I would hope and pray that she would have been successful, because if she was successful, we are successful. So I'm going to pray for the success of this president. I also am going to pray, you can join me in this, that President Trump, before he gets in office, repents and comes to Jesus. But just newsflash, not a Christian. Okay, just for those that are like, he loves you. He does not. Okay, he couldn't even hold the Bible upright. Like, he's not a Christ follower. And that's okay. We pray for him to come to Christ. We pray for him to repent. We pray for him to fall on his knees before his Savior, before every knee bows, because God makes it. We pray that he bends the knee. We pray that the advisors around him are godly men and women that bring him to the brink of knowing what it means to follow Jesus and letting him do it. We pray that he be the daddy that shows his son Baron how to follow Jesus. By the way, Baron got real tall. Or Melania, or all of his other children. That's what I pray for. You see, if I were to kind of boil everything down to one phrase, I want to put the soul tattoo on the stage. I want you to see this. What our country needs now is a people who trust in his, everybody say his. Everybody say his. Sovereign rule. And I'm not talking about Trump's. I'm talking about God's sovereign rule. He, God, knows what he's doing. We trust in his sovereign rule. Not in Biden's. Not in Trump's. Not in anybody else. God's sovereign rule. So when the election's over, we do well to do a few things. If you're taking notes, I want you to write these things down. The number one thing that we can do is we renew our trust in God's sovereignty. We renew our trust in God's sovereignty. God is in control. I know this may come as a surprise. Some people are like, where was God when Trump got elected? He was in control. He is not surprised. He did not flip. He didn't go, hey, did you guys see this happening? The only people that were surprised were the Simpsons, right? Like, everybody else knew what was going on, right? God knew what was happening. The truth is confirmed. You can go all the way back to Daniel chapter 2 and 4 and see that God always knew what was going to happen. It's affirmed in the writings of the Apostle Paul in Romans. And indeed, Jesus is the ultimate authority. He says, all authority in heaven and on earth is given to me, Matthew 28. He's got all authority. He knows what's going on. Jesus is the head over all things. We have to renew our trust in God's sovereignty because we know that God is sovereign and he controls it all. He's the King of kings. He's the Lord of lords. By the way, we're getting into Christmas season. For those of you that have put your trees up, take them down. But as we get into Christmas season, you're going to start to hear King of Kings and Lord of Lords, right? And we sing that, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. We do all that stuff, but we don't think about what's going on. He is the King of all kings. He is the Lord of all lords. He is the President of all presidents. He controls it all. That is God's sovereignty. He truly is the ruler of all the kings of the earth. Revelation 1 and 5. I want you to hear me. No matter who is president, king, dictator, whatever you want to say, God rules over it all. God rules over it all. We must trust in his sovereignty. We must trust in God's sovereignty. All things, Christian, if you are a Christ follower, you love Jesus, you follow him, all things work together for who's good? The good for those who love God. Romans 8:28. Or you could say this, if God is for us, then who can be against us? Romans 8:31. Nothing should separate us from the love of? I want to say it again. Nothing should separate us from the love of?
God.
Nothing can separate you. Not height, nor depth, nor principalities, spirits of the age, not presidents, not senators, not governors, nothing. Nothing. People that run in despair right now, oh, it's going to be nothing. But my taxes, nothing. Do you know when Paul wrote that? Do you know what was going on in the world? See, there's this guy, his name is Nero. Have you ever heard of Nero? He's a pretty evil emperor. Let me tell you what he did. Nero was insane, and I mean like literally insane. Nero was known for doing some insidious stuff. One of the things he was best known for is he burned a third of Rome. And while he burned a third of Rome, he sat in the palace that overlooked Rome, and he played his fiddle and sang to it. Then after he got done burning a third of Rome, mostly the poor parts, he blamed Christians, which then started a riot against Christians. he got Christians, he would tar and feather us, he would stick a pike and impale us, and then light us on fire while we were still alive so that we could light the way for his glorious return to rebuild Rome. That was the emperor at the time when Paul was writing this. When Paul told us in Romans 13 to pray for those in authority over you, and people go, well, that's not my president. Paul, who watched his friends burn alive, said, pray for that leader. We look at a dude who has some adulterous affairs and probably isn't the best guy and go, well, I ain't going to pray for him. God's going to get... No. Even when your friends are burning alive, you still pray for them. If Paul can do it, so can you. So can you. Let's not get so in our feelings, so deep in our feelings, that we lose the reality that God is in control of all of this. No matter what rulers may do, for good or for bad, we are in God's hands. You are in God's hands. You know the best part about that, if you go back to Rome and you look at the narrative, what made the Colosseum fall apart is Christians understanding they were in God's hands. They stood in the middle of the Colosseum as they sent bears and lions after them and tigers and things to destroy them. And instead of yelling and screaming and making a spectacle, they stood there and they prayed for the rulers that were over them. They prayed in the middle of the arena. People said, this isn't fun anymore. They're not doing the stuff that everybody else does. Everybody else yells and screams and pees and all that other stuff. They just pray. They would say, God is in control. God is in control, and we are in his hands. And much like Jesus said on the cross, to your hands I commit my spirit. Do you have that attitude right now? Post-election, do you have that attitude? Listen, we may not know the future, but we know the one who holds the future. We may not know what's up next for us, but we know that we are in his hands. And with God's sovereignty giving us both comfort and courage, we should also do the second thing. We should reaffirm our kingdom citizenship. It is time right now to reaffirm your kingdom citizenship. If you have a passport, every 10 years, you have to go back in and prove you're you. Every 10 years, you have to go in and prove you're you. And there's a couple times with a passport that you are telling everybody that you're you. When you get off the plane in a foreign country, there's never a time you want to act and look more like yourself than when you've been in a flight all night. You feel haggard. You're all stiff in every different place. And then you get to a foreign person because you have to go through the aliens line, right? And then you get over there and they go, Mr. Nelson? And I go, yes. And you have to like perk up. You haven't taken a shower. You feel nasty. And then start asking you questions about yourself. The only other time you have to do that is when you go to the passport office to renew yourself. Every 10 years, you have to renew and just go, hey, I'm still me. Here's my birth certificate. Here's me. I'm still me. I'm still alive. I don't have any false aliases. I'm not part of the CIA or something. You know, I'm still that guy. I'm still alive. It's good. But we reaffirm who we are. Why? Because we have to reaffirm our citizenship to the United States. But remember, your true citizenship is in heaven. It's in heaven. As declared by Paul to the brethren who are in Rome in Philippians 3:20, your citizenship is in heaven, Christian. That's where your citizenship lies. That's where your loyalties should lie. That's the way we think and we move. We are fellow citizens with the saints, what says Ephesians 2. That we walk with the saints and we are fellow citizens together. Brothers and sisters, we are pilgrims walking through the nations of men. Your job is to walk through the nations. We are kingdom citizens first and foremost. Before anything else, we are kingdom citizens. We must reaffirm that pilgrim status in our lives. It's time to get moving. This world is not your home. You're just passing through. Christian, hear that again. This world is not your own. You are passing through. We should be aware of becoming too attached to things of this world. We should be very aware of becoming too attached to things of this world. When we get too attached to our political parties, it becomes an idol. When you wake up in the morning, I mean, and I was there on Tuesday night. I was watching the returns. You know, you guys probably did that too. I started watching the returns, and then the kids went to bed because it was getting kind of late, and Mama went to bed. I was sitting there, and honestly, I fell asleep on the couch. I woke up to President Trump getting up to the podium. And I was like, oh, well, he won. I turned it off and went to bed. Like, you know, because it was kind of going that direction anyway, so I just kind of said, eh, all right, whatever. Now, if you had talked to me 20 years ago, I'd have been like, no, lost on the ground, snot, the whole nine yards. Why? I was attached to this world. I saw President Trump get up, President-elect Trump get up, and he said, you know, he was going to accept it. And I said, okay, well, God, you know what you're doing. I went to bed and slept like a Calvinist. It was great. I had a good night's rest, woke up in the morning, you know, got in God's word, and we moved on, right? You move. Why? Because I'm not attached to it. There's not an emotional baggage that goes with it. Do I want, by the way, just, you know, all cards on the table, didn't vote for either of them. Okay, all cards on the table. Did vote. Voted for everybody else down the ballot, but did not vote for either of them. Couldn't bring myself to do that, honestly. But are there problems? And I mean major problems with both the major candidates. Oh, yes. Talk to me afterwards. I can give you all of them. Okay? But my prayer is not about their problem. My prayer is that God will encounter them. That he'll begin to break them. And that's what I mean, is that we have to become so aware of becoming attached to fruitless things in our life, which leaves us unprepared for God's coming. There's so many Christians that are so focused on the culture war and win America back that we have forgotten that we are actually supposed to be waiting for Jesus to come back, not bringing America back. I mean, it'd be great to have America. We lived here. It's good. We want to live amongst our nation and raise it up. That's good. But Jesus is coming back. There are people that are dying. I sat across the table from a young man who a friend of his passed away this week. And in tears, he said, I don't know if he knew Jesus and I didn't take the opportunity to tell him about Jesus. What do I do? Christian, don't let that be you. Don't let that be you where you have a friend that you're about to go to their funeral now. It's done. There's nothing else you can do. That's our goal. That's what we're putting on this earth to do. That is what we have been called to do. Beware of becoming too attached to this world. We may be citizens of an earthly nation, but don't become too attached. Be aware of our true spiritual identity as kingdom citizens of heaven. But also do that, you have to do this. You have to refocus on your primary mission. You have to refocus on our primary mission. Our primary mission concerns God. To seek first the rule of God in your life. That's your primary mission. To proclaim the praises of God in his mercy. That is the mission in your life. That is what you've been called on earth to do. Listen, if God wanted a bunch of perfect saints, he'd have killed you the second you received him. You'd have said, I got Jesus. He said, go home. That's immediately what he'd done. That's not what he said, you have a mission, saint. You have a job, saint. You know, every year, and this is going to happen with President Trump, he has to appoint about 5,000 people. I didn't realize it was that much. It's like 5,000 people he has to appoint. Ambassadors and all these different advisors to do all kinds of things. It's kind of crazy. I was watching a YouTube video, and I mean, I knew it was a lot, but 5,000 is insane. You know, I'm sure he's got people that help him out with it, right? But one of the things he's do is come up with ambassadors. Ambassadors are these people that, you know, you get to appoint occasionally, but they go over. And what do? They represent you in your entrance, the entrance of your leader in a foreign land, amen? Like, that's our job. And the job of an ambassador when they go to, let's say, Europe, is to represent the interest of the United States. As a matter of fact, and if you go to another country and you go to the embassy of the United States, when you step on the grounds of the embassy, you're now on American soil. You're no longer on German soil or South American. You're in American soil. As soon as you step on the grounds of the embassy, the ambassador runs that place on the behalf of the United States of America to represent our interests, to speak to the president or the king or the queen or whoever the sovereign is of that place, to let them know, hey, just so you know, this is what we believe as Americans that you should do so to help our relationship move forward. And we have outposts all over the world, in almost every single country. Christian, do you understand your house, your dorm room, your apartment is that outpost in this land? That you are the ambassador. Your house, your cubicle, whatever you have is the embassy. And when people step into your household, they step into your apartment, they step into your dorm room, they step into your domain, they are now stepping on the soil of the kingdom of heaven, and you are his representative. That's the primary focus that we have. Where you walk, your interests are not the interests of the United States. Your interests are the interests of the kingdom of heaven. That's your interest. That's what we get to do. That is what we show people. The kingdom of God is our primary mission. We must refocus our efforts on the gospel. For the commission that Christ gave us in Mark chapter 16, to make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Matthew 28, teaching them all that I've commanded you, and I'm with you even to the end of the age. Are we as active in our evangelism as we are in our politics? Are we as active in our evangelism as we are in our politics? I hear people get just active on some fun subjects. You know, we'll talk about Diddy all day, right? We have all kinds of discussions about that. We'll have discussions about, I heard a guy say, and actually chuckled about this a little bit, but in the cafeteria said, well, if we can have this guy in the office, then I can do this, that, and the third. And people are having all these kind of discussions about politics and sports. I mean, I know as guys, man, we have conversations about sports, and we can bring up all kinds of stats. You ever been around a bunch of guys? We bring up stats from like 1943. Be like, he had a 50-50, Shohei Ohtani is the first 50-50, da-da-da-da. And you're like, what? I always love watching sports with my wife because she always points out, and like to me it's so normal, but she always points out when they bring up the most random facts. It's like, why does anybody need or want to know that? But ESPN's really good about that. He's the first brown-haired guy with blue eyes to bat left-handed since 1933. You're like, what? Why do you know that? Well, we know all this stuff, and we'll talk about all of these things, but we can't talk about Jesus. And I don't say that to shame you. I just want us to refocus. We got so sucked in and so beat down with all these messages and signs and all these things everywhere you turn saying, vote for me and vote for that and do this and do that. And when's the last time we actually shared Jesus? Remember, as an ambassador, as an embassy, your job is to show the interest of the kingdom that you represent. What kingdom do you represent? If people were to look at your life and listen to what came out of your mouth, will they know what kingdom you represent? When you walk in the room, you should walk in with bearing that kingdom's flag. They should know. They should know. So as you go about fulfilling the Great Commission, we should also do one last thing. We should resolve to give leaders their due. Resolve to give leaders their due. What we owe our authority is this. We owe the authority above us our submission. Pause. Nobody likes that. Like when I do premarital and we get to the part about submission, I see people's eyes roll far back in their head, usually on the ground and out the door, right? When we talk about submission, nobody likes it, but Romans 13 makes it extremely clear. This is, again, the Apostle Paul talking to his friends who are in the midst of watching their friends burn. And he says, you submit to him. And I'm sure they read that and said, excuse me, Paul? I'm sorry, you said what? Submit to who? The dude burning us? You can kick rocks. Right? Like, I understand that. I can understand that sentiment. If somebody was burning my friends, I don't know if I'd want to be like, well, it's a good guy. I'm going to pray for him and pray for you to go to, But for conscience sake, for the Lord's sake, we pray for them. Also, to silence the ignorance of foolish men, we pray for them. Prayer changes a lot. Also in submission, Romans 13, I'm just going to say this out there. and this part hurts, we owe them our taxes. Romans 13, 6 and 7. Literally says that. So please go read it. I want to give you the references. Write it down. Romans 13, 6 and 7. We owe them our respect and honor. Romans 13 and 7. Also 1 Peter and 2. And we don't speak evil to those in authority. Matter of fact, probably shouldn't be speaking evil of anyone. Just keep it 100, you know. A lot of times we want to talk about people behind the back. Don't. We owe them our prayers. We pray for all those in authority, which, by the way, a lot of people were focused on, Harris and Trump, but they weren't focused on our governor's race. We owe Brother Mike Kehoe, who is a local guy, our prayer. His family, our prayer. Because running a state, I remember Annalise, when she was younger, she said the governor is the president of our state. And, I mean, she's right. That's exactly what he is. And he's got a lot on his shoulders. You should pray for him. Brother Kehoe's got a lot going on for him. You should pray for our mayor and our senators. That we might lead quiet and peaceable lives. That our God-given duties as citizens living among the nations will be seen. And we must not fail our obligations. Listen, political differences do not justify speaking ill of our leaders. You don't have to like them. You don't have to think they're moral people. Matter of fact, can I just be honest? There, a lot of them are immoral. I remember a few years ago in the News Tribune, they had a Sunday morning expose where they exposed a whole bunch of senators and representatives for bringing their cousins down here during the winter, and it was just some aid that they were cheating on their wives with. And they had a whole front page expose. People were like, oh, yeah, these men and women need to repent. They do. It doesn't mean that we get to fail our obligations. Even when they're immoral. It is not our justification to fail them. When Nero was immoral, Christians fell on their knees and prayed for him. And that's our job too. And we may have the liberty, but do not say what is evil. And we do. 1 Peter 2 and 6 tells us that we have the liberty to say it. We have the ability to speak prophetically to a world. But are we committed to giving our leaders what God demands of us? Rather than maligning our leaders or president bashing our leaders or speaking ill of those who we may disagree with, are we willing and able to give them what they need? Can I be honest with you? This is hard. Every 4 years, by the way, it's hard for me. Not just this time. Every 4 years is hard. Because every 4 years I watch presidents make mistakes that just make me want to scream. And I hear it on the news, and I just go, meh, like I make that sound inside. Sometimes I let it out. But like it just makes you want to scream because I'm going, why would you do that? And then I have to remember that God knows something that I don't. Which then brings us to the last thing. We get to resume our role as peacemakers. You see, again, moving into the Christmas holiday, we serve the Prince of Peace. Right? We serve the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9 and 6 tells us we serve the Prince of Peace. The one foretold by Isaiah, the one announced by the heavenly host in Luke, remember that? They all came down, hark the herald angels sing. They all came down and said, hey, dude's coming. They probably didn't say dude's coming, but he's coming. The Messiah's coming, right? The one who died to make peace between men and God, that one, he's a peacemaker. That's our job, our King and our Lord, who's truly the one hope for peace. Not anything else, because I know the world tells us, well, he's going to bring peace or she's going to bring. They're not. Here, let me help you. Last time President Trump was in office, he said his son-in-law to go over to Europe. Go over to the Middle East. His name is Jared Kushner. And he said, your job, which was the dumbest thing I've ever heard, but whatever, your job is to make peace in the Middle East. And Jared said, okay. And he went over there, and guess what he didn't do? Make peace. You know why? Because they're at war right now. And then Biden came in, and he announced somebody. And he said, hey, you know what your job is? Your job is to make peace. And you know what Biden didn't do? make peace, because for thousands of years they've been at war. It all goes back to Abraham and Ishmael, or Ishmael and Isaac. This is not a surprise. But we're to be peacemakers. We're the one who stands in the gap. If we're to be called sons and daughters of the Most High God, our job is to be peacemakers by loving our enemies, by blessing those who hate us. I love the proverb that says that if you bless somebody, it's like heaping hot coals into their lap. Who can hold them? I love that. I love that imagery. I wouldn't like the feeling, but I like the imagery of just sitting there and somebody's just dumping hot coals on you. That's what loving your enemies is like for them. By displaying wisdom that comes from above. Not worldly wisdom, but wisdom that comes from above. By contending without being contentious. By contending without being contentious. We're agents of peaceful discourse and interaction among the divine, the divided in mankind. Which means that if we actually were to act like this, we're probably not going to be invited onto the panel discussions on CNN or Fox News or MSNBC, because we're not contentious. We don't go to the extremes and go, well, you bunch of, we don't do that, right? No. But we can walk amongst the people that we see, where you live, where you work, where you play, the people that you walk with and love in your life, and you can be a peacemaker. You can honestly say, hey, I don't agree with him here, but I choose to pray with him. Hey, why don't we stop, especially with other Christians, why don't we stop and just pray for President Trump right now? Why don't we pray for President Biden and President Trump as they meet this week and they are transitioning and doing the thing that we've done for hundreds of years that most countries have never done, it's a peaceful transfer of power. Can we pray for them? And you know what's going to happen? People are going to look at you like you have a third eye and go, why would you do that? The Bible calls me to. Why wouldn't I? Why wouldn't I pray for my leaders? Why wouldn't I resume my role as a peacemaker in a world that is torn apart, where people are losing family members? Do you know how many people, I talked to a friend of mine this week that said, I don't know if my family's going to come to Thanksgiving. Do you know the insanity of that? You're going to miss Thanksgiving with your family over the election. Listen, I understand. I understand your guy, your gal, your person may not have won. But you're still my family. That'll never change. I still love you. As I've told my siblings, you have the right to be wrong, and that's okay. I love you. We can disagree on this one. But now I'm being told by some of my friends on Facebook and Instagram, we can't even agree to disagree. Now that's wrong. Christian, our job is to be peacemakers. What our country needs right now, this old tattoo once again, what our country needs right now is people who trust in God's sovereign rule. We have the freedom to elect our leaders. What a wonderful blessing. The euphoria of victory, we may neglect the duties of a true citizenship. Or the dysphoria of defeat, we may forget the one who's truly in charge. We have that blessing. When the election's over, which it is now, whether our candidate wins or loses, let us renew our trust in God's sovereignty. Let us reaffirm our kingdom citizenship. Let us refocus our primary mission. Let us resolve to give our leaders their due, and let us resume our role as peacemakers. By the way, they all start with R. I didn't do that on purpose, but they do. To help you remember it. These five R's to help you remember. These are our jobs. 1 Timothy chapter 6 says this. I urge you in the sight of God, who gives life to all things, and before Christ Jesus, who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep this commandment without spot, blameless until our Lord Jesus appearing, Christ Jesus appearing, which he will manifest in his own time. He who is blessed only by the Pontiate, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, who is alone, has immortality, dwelling in unapproachable light, in whom no man has seen or can see. To him be the honor and everlasting power. Amen. I want to give you a couple applications, and I'm going to get out of your hair. These aren't on the screen. I just want you to write them down if you think this would be good. We talked about this last week, but I just remind you again that, number one, application. The popular demands may be plausible, but they also can be wrong. We talked about this last week about how we asked for a king. It was kind of a warning, and sometimes we get our king, and God's like, wrong choice. Popular demands can be, and there'll be things that we ask for. There's things in our state that we ask for. Amendment 3, we asked for. Okay, we have it. As Christ followers, I still believe it's wrong. But this allows us to regain our prophetic voice to a culture, to tell the world, hey, this is why. Let me help you. That means when the clinic opens up to full force next week in Columbia, Planned Parenthood opens up full force. They've already announced it. That we not be out there protesting them, but that we offer the young ladies that feel like they have no hope what they need. That we advocate to Brother Mike Kehoe, who's in the office, hey, how do we economically, because one of the number one reasons for abortion in the state is economic hardship. How do we economically help these young ladies be able to step up so they don't feel like they have to murder their child? How? How do we walk alongside them? What are the things we need to do in order to get them to that next step? What does that look like? That is what it looks like to be a peacemaker, Christ follower. So we're not just pro-birth, we're pro-life. Number two, our sinful desires, whatever they may be, will be corrected by experience. Sometimes, and by the way, you probably have had this, I've had this, we don't listen to wisdom. You ever had that in your life? Well, God will tell you something, or a friend will tell you that, your mama, your daddy will tell you something that's wise, and we're like, uh-huh, yeah, and just go off and do the other thing. Like, we look them dead in the eye, and they tell you the thing you're supposed to do, and you go, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. And we have to deal with the consequences. Even when, and what happens, and the hard part for me is that sometimes God acquiesces and moves out of the way and says, your will be done. I don't know if that's what's going on in the nation. I don't want to speculate. I'm not one of those guys that's like, well, Trump coming in is the sign of the apocalypse. I mean, if some of y'all remember, we're old enough, remember Gorbachev was a sign of the apocalypse. That didn't happen, right? So, like, it's been happening for a while. That's not the issue. The issue is whether or not we're willing to listen to godly wisdom and pray for godly wisdom to be done in our nation. Number three, God's perfect plans proceed despite sinful folly. You cannot mess up God's perfect plans. That does not mean that you get to go out and try, right? I know some of us are like, well, I mean, you know, if God will let me sin, I'm just going to go out there. And Paul says, why would you do that? No, don't do that. But when you mess up, God's perfect plans are still going to go despite your folly, despite what goes on in the White House, despite what our president may do or may not do, despite what our governor may or may not do. Those sinful follies will not stop God's perfect plan for his world. He has a plan and he's going to execute it. What our country needs right now is people who trust in God's unfailing power and his glorious rule over us. That's what he needs. Are you willing to actually live it? Ladies and gentlemen, we got 4 years to do this. We got another 4 years, if God allow us to live that long, to do these things, to show the world what it looks like and to reflect to a dying world. And I mean a dying world because there are many people out there that are so lost in the sauce when it comes to politics that they've forgotten who Jesus actually is. And we have the ability to show them what it means to live for Jesus no matter what we do. This is your opportunity right now. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you so much that you give us the opportunity to show as people what it means to trust in your unfailing power and glorious rule. God, I know sometimes when I look at the politics of this nation and others, I freak out. I lose sight on exactly what you're doing. Remind me daily, anytime that my heart skips a beat, on what you are ultimately doing. Remind me that your rule is perfect, that you will push us where we need to go, that you will guide us in every way, shape, and form. Father, I help us to be the peacemakers that we need to be. Help us to be the ones that actually show the world what it looks like to follow hard after you. And if politics or this world or this nation have become our idol, strip it away from us, Jesus, so that you can be the king of our heart, the king of our life, and that our very lives as ambassadors for you will be a calling to the world around us on who we stand for. Thank you, Jesus, that we get to walk in that way. We praise you and thank you. In your name we pray. All God's saints say, amen.
Thank you for listening to the audio of Soma Community Church located in Jefferson City. Feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for the content or alter it in any way without express written permission. For more information about Soma, please visit us at www.somajc.org.